Today's message is entitled Praying and Fasting for a Breakthrough. Praying, fasting for a breakthrough. How many have ever needed a breakthrough? Hey, look at the hands. So you're already connected with me on this message. When you need a breakthrough, you're facing something that is difficult. You're either stuck, stalemated, or you're in the midst of something that you're uncomfortable with. It's causing you pain. It's causing you difficulty. And you want to move past it. You want to get through it. You want to advance. You want that thing to go away. And you want victory in the midst of it. Things just are not working out for you right now. Maybe you're struggling in your finances, struggling in your work, struggling in your marriage, struggling in your relationships, and you're wondering if God even cares. And maybe you've made some bad decisions in the past, and it's causing you now consequences that are unfortunate and that are causing you pain. And you just want to break through that to a new day. How many are thankful today that in the Lord there's an opportunity for a breakthrough, a fresh start, a new day, a new opportunity? Amen. Man, I can tell I'm hitting the nail on the head. You guys, you can relate to what I'm talking about, that we need a breakthrough. So we want to look at the Bible to see what the Bible talks about how to get a breakthrough. Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do to get a breakthrough. There's a lot of different areas where you might need a breakthrough. First of all, let me define what a breakthrough is. And I went to the dictionary because that's a pretty good place to get a definition, right? Excuse me, I'm so sorry. I'm probably going to do that several times in this message today. But I just wanted to be here so bad. But you probably don't want to touch me or let me touch you. So, but according to the dictionary, a breakthrough is a sudden, dramatic, important advance. A sudden, dramatic, important advance. Science has breakthroughs. Technology has breakthroughs. Medicine has breakthroughs. A breakthrough is an important, sudden advance and dramatic advance. How many know you can have a breakthrough in your marriage? You can have a breakthrough in a relationship that has been strained. You can have a breakthrough in your career. You can have a financial breakthrough. And let me tell you, that doesn't always mean that you get a raise. It doesn't always mean that you get a new job. It may be a new way of thinking about your finances. It may be a new way of handling your finances, a new way of, you may go to a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University, and you begin to do some work on your part to get things in order so that you are controlling the spending instead of being controlled by the spending that you have no earthly idea about where it's going. And so you have a breakthrough because you get a handle on things. How many know you can even have a spiritual breakthrough? How many have ever experienced that? I can name you times and places and where I've been where God broke through into my life in a mighty powerful way and changed the direction of my life, set me on a new course, began to do a new work in my life. Now, the opposite of a breakthrough is a setback. If you're not moving forward, you're stalled. And that could be the opposite of a breakthrough. You're at an impasse. You're at a dead end. You're at a deadlock. You're stalemated. You're not making any progress, and you definitely need a breakthrough. Now, I don't know if you figured this out or not, but God oftentimes uses pain to get our attention. Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching good. All right? God uses pain to get our attention. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our pain. He's saying, hello, anybody out there? I didn't make you just to live for yourself. I've got a higher purpose for your life. I've got something I want to do for you. I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to redirect your life. I'm trying to help you to realize that I am here for you. And if you will look to me and seek my face, I will help you in your life. Talking about pain, it must be painful just to listen to me this morning. But if you're in pain today, congratulations. God's getting your attention. God loves you. Right where you are at. And he is sending up a flare that says, I want to work in your life in that area. Anybody agree with that? And you know, this is human nature, but we don't change because we see the light. Sometimes we do, but normally we change because we feel the heat. Are you with me? We change because the pain is greater than the fear. Change. We're tired of the pain. And so we're going to get out of it. We're going to finally say, hey, I want to make a change because I want to move past. I don't want to be in this same spot that I've been in. Can I've got good news for you today? You don't have to stay the way you are. You don't have to stay in that rut. You know what a rut is? I didn't find this in the Bible. My pastor said this many, many years ago when I was in high school. That was back when before the Dead Sea got even sick. You know what a grave is? It's a rut with both ends kicked out. Or what is a rut? It's a grave. That's how I put it. A rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. You may feel like you're in a rut. Well, I'm here to tell you that God can get you out of that place of defeat. And how many are ready for a breakthrough today? I am. I'm ready for God to teach me how to have a breakthrough in my life. And what I've discovered in being a pastor for over 30 years and reading the Bible all these years, since I was 15 years old, I've discovered that breakthroughs don't just spontaneously happen. I don't just wake up one day and say, whoa, I got a breakthrough. I don't go to the mailbox and say, whoa, there's a breakthrough. You know? I don't get a phone call. Breakthrough time, you know? Might get a call that says break time, but I don't get a breakthrough call. Breakthroughs happen because people seek for a breakthrough. They seek God for a breakthrough. They get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they begin to look to God and get serious with God, and they say, God, I need a breakthrough. I'm reminded of Jacob. He was tired of being the way he was, and he got a hold of the angel of the Lord, and he said, God, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. And so I don't know what it is in your life that's got you stalemated or where you need a breakthrough, but I'm telling you that if you'll follow these principles that I'm going to teach you today, that you will and can experience a breakthrough. It may not happen overnight. It's a process, But you can make a sudden advance, even in a short amount of time. You can make a sudden advance, a dramatic advance that would be called the beginning of a breakthrough. So I want to look at two Bible examples of a breakthrough. Now, David is one. We're going to look at King David. Now, King David had just been elected or appointed to be the king. How many know oftentimes trouble follows victory? And so David was chosen to be king, and guess what happens? All hell breaks loose. I said all hell breaks loose. And in this instance, his enemies want to destroy him. First Chronicles, if you have your Bible, chapter 4, verse 8 through 11. We have it on the screen, but if you have your Bible, you can follow along. I believe also there, your handout will have some of the scriptures on them. In fact, it's right there on your handout. I couldn't make it easier for you this morning. You don't have to say thank you. That's okay. All right, let's read it. When the Philistines learned that David had been made king of Israel, they mobilized all their forces against him to attack and enslave him. He had just become king. The Philistines were the enemy. They were a fierce fighting machine, and there were more Philistines than Israelites. They were outnumbered, and they've come together in a united attack to enslave and attack the nation of Israel, and specifically David. They want to capture David. They want to enslave him. But David heard the news, and what did he do? He moved to what? A fortified place. I want you to think about that for a minute. We need a fortified place. We need a place when the enemy comes against us. How many know there really is an enemy? When all the struggles of life are bearing down on us, we need a safe place. We need a place where we can go and we can seek God and we can be okay and we can feel the support of other people and the support and the presence of Almighty God, and we can be in a fortified place. Now, let's be very practical this morning. Where would that fortified place be? Hopefully, the fortified place, number one, could be your family. Thanks for the amens. Hopefully that your family, and as a spiritual leader in your family, you can make your family a fortified place, a safe place where people can feel like they are okay there. They are loved, they're cared for, they're prayed for, and that it's a spiritual place where they're going to be lifted up and encouraged. And so you should gather your family together regularly. And you should read scripture, and you should pray, and you should make your home a fortified place. You know, because there's a lot of attacks out there from the enemy. There's a lot of negativity out there. There's a lot of evil out there. Your home needs to be a safe place. Your home needs to be a place where there's not all kinds of conflict and all kinds of problems, but it ought to be a place where you love each other and you help each other. You care for each other, and you do whatever it takes to make your home a place of peace and harmony and strength. So if you go to school and you have problems, you can come home. Oh, I'm home. Hallelujah. I'm home. At home, it's safe, you know. At home, we treat each other with respect and love and dignity. At home, we pray together. At home, it's just a safe place where I know I'm going to be taken care of. But the church ought to be a fortified place where people want to come and people feel loved, people feel cared for, people feel like, hey, if I got a problem, somebody, there's going to be people that are going to come to my aid and they're going to help me and they're going to support me. Your life group ought to be a place that's fortified where you can open up your heart and you can talk and you can share and you can be encouraged and you can trust the people that are there. And if you're not in a life group, I encourage you to be in a life group where you can pray with other people for breakthroughs that we all need in our lives. My, a fortified place. There are so many places. You know what? That special place that you go to pray and to seek God ought to be a fortified place. It ought to be a place, you know, Jesus would oftentimes leave the crowds and go to a private, solitary place where he would pray and seek the Lord. That was a fortified place. I could keep preaching, but let's just read. Then the Philistine army moved in, spread out across the entire valley. How did David respond? He sought the Lord in prayer, asking, should I go out and fight these Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? Let me give you two very important principles. Never fight a battle without asking God first. And can I tell you that every battle that's out there, you don't have to fight? A friend of mine put this on Facebook, and I don't know if I'll ever forget it. He said, I've discovered that I do not have to participate in every argument that I'm invited to. Did you hear that? You don't have to participate in every argument or conflict that is out there. Because if you want conflict, you can find it and you can have conflict every single day of your life. But you know what? You need to pick your battles. Sometimes there may be things that happen in your family that you don't like, but guess what? Sometimes you just need to go to the Lord and pray, and then God's just going to say to you, you know, let's not fight that battle. Let's just let that one lie. You know, no, people aren't perfect, and you just can't fight every single battle. And then there are issues that, yeah, that one has to be dealt with. I have to find wisdom from God. I've got to deal with that issue, that problem. But you need to inquire of the Lord. He said, should I go out and fight the Philistines? And the Lord replied. I'm glad that he answers. I'm glad that it's a two-way street. That God, when you pray, God talks to you. Have you experienced that? God will speak to you. Yes, go ahead. You can certainly count on me to give you the victory. I can count on God to give me the victory. I can count on God to give me the victory. So David went out and defeated them. And then David said, I love this. You want to underline this. If you don't have your own Bible and if you don't have you take these notes, you're going to forget this message. Listen to this. I watched the Lord break through my enemies like a mighty flood. Does that bless you or what? I watched the Lord break through my enemies like a mighty flood. I mean, we've seen floodwaters, right? Just the floodwaters this week with this hurricane out in the Carolinas, how it just break through. I'm telling you, the mighty power of God can break through strongholds in your life, and God can cause you to have a breakthrough. I think of somebody in this church decided, nobody pressured him. He just decided he didn't want to smoke anymore. guess what? God gave him a breakthrough. He moved past that one. He made a sudden, dramatic advance. And guess what? He put on Facebook the other day or some time ago, so many days. It was a long, big number. No smokes. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. A breakthrough. A breakthrough. Wow. There may be something that's got you bound, but you can be free. The power of God can set you free. And we read here, the Lord replied, go ahead. You can count on me. So the Lord went out and defeated them. Then David said, I watched the Lord break through my enemies. This is what can happen in your life. Let me ask you, have you ever felt like David? Have you ever felt like the forces were mobilized against you? I see you shaking your head. Have you ever felt like you needed a fortified, safe place? Have you ever felt like the enemy spread out and was closing in on you? David did the right thing. He sought the Lord in prayer, and the result was, I watched the Lord break through. How many have seen that? You've watched the Lord break through. Now let me give you another example before I get to the main text of the message today. We're going to look at a second king. His name is Jehoshaphat. Now David, that's a pretty common name. Jehoshaphat, that's a little different, right? I'm sure old Jehoshaphat, when he was in school, he probably had people make fun of his name. They probably called him Fatty. Hey, Fatty. Yeah, but he was a king. And he faced overwhelming opposition. After this, in chapter 20, after this, after the great victories of chapter 19, three enemies joined forces against Judah. A mighty army, three enemies came together in an alliance to fight against Judah. Some men told the king, a vast army is coming against you. How would you feel? Old Fatty was alarmed. He was alarmed and afraid. And King Jehoshaphat resolved to seek the Lord. And the Lord, then he proclaimed a fast for everyone. I mean, this was a national problem. Not just his problem. They wanted to overthrow the whole nation. And so he not only sought the Lord in prayer, but he proclaimed a fast for everyone, and all the people came together to seek help from the Lord, and they came from everywhere to seek God. Now, do we believe the Bible? How do you find a breakthrough? Well, right here we have an example of a breakthrough where they were alarmed, they were afraid, they worried, they had a problem, they needed a victory, they needed a solution. They sought God, they fasted, but they just didn't do it as individuals. They came together to seek the help of the Lord, and they came from everywhere to seek God. How many know something good's going to happen when the people come together and they pray? The problem today isn't when you call for the prayer meeting, people don't come. We need to come from everywhere to seek the Lord, to pray, to believe God for better days, to believe God for the salvation of souls, to believe God for your breakthrough, to believe God for blessing to come from on high. So number one, he did four things right. He did four things. Number one, instead of worrying, he focused on God. Number two, he resolved to seek the Lord. Number three, I'm just giving you an outline. He started with a fast. And all the people joined together to seek God through prayer. And a miraculous victory came as God fought the battle for them. Now watch this. All Fatty had to do was get out there and just watch God do his work. Because what God did was he took this vast army, created confusion in their ranks, and they began to fight against each other and defeated each other. And then all that Israel had to do was go out and pick up the spoils of the war. And it took them days to do that. I mean, I'm telling you, God broke through and a mighty victory was there. Why did it happen? They sought the Lord. They prayed and they fasted. And I want to encourage you during this series as we're seeking God for a breakthrough. I want to encourage you to spend time every day in prayer to God. I want you to set a time every day, not just one time, but two or three times a day where you spend time in his word and in prayer. And then I want to encourage you to pick a day where you say, I'm going to fast and I'm going to seek the Lord for you. It might be that I'm going to fast a meal. And what fasting is I'm giving up something that is important to me. And instead of participating in that activity, I am going to refocus my whole life and spend that time that I would be eating, and I'm going to just spend it with God. And I'm going to show God I'm very serious about this circumstance that I'm in and about my prayers. And I'm going to fast. You might fast a meal. You might fast three meals. You might fast something else like social media. I mean, there might be something in your life that consumes a lot of your time. It's very important to you. And you say, you know what? I'm going to put that down. And I'm going to sacrifice that unto the Lord. And I am going to spend that time seeking God and then watch what God will do as a result of it. And then we need to be praying about how we can do this corporately together so that we can see, we can come together seriously, put forth a call, and we come together to pray like we've never prayed before. Well, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to move quickly. The Apostle Paul gives us four things that we can do for a breakthrough. Right there were two examples. And now Paul tells us how to have a breakthrough in Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Do not worry about anything. Wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? Oh, that's probably the hardest command in the whole Bible to obey. You say, well, I haven't committed murder, I haven't committed adultery, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, and those are commands in the Bible, but here's one we probably break every day. Worry. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And something powerful will happen. There will be a breakthrough that will come into your life. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart, your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, a supernatural breakthrough will come into your life because instead of worrying, you're praying. And in the midst of your praying, you're bringing your petitions before God, your requests. And you're doing it with thanksgiving. And then God moves on the scene of your life with peace that you cannot explain. It doesn't mean the circumstances changed. But you know what? God gave you supernatural peace. How many think that would be a good thing? How many have experienced it? How many know God can do it in your life? He can. And you need it. Then fix your thoughts on things that are true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, admirable. Fill your mind with thoughts that are excellent, worthy of praise. He says, change the way you're thinking. So, four simple habits that lead to a breakthrough. Number one, don't worry about anything. Sounds hard, but you can break the habit of worry with prayer and fasting. There's a lot of other people who write books and tell you how to get rid of worry, but let me tell you something. Biblically, you can break it with prayer and fasting. Worry breaks the obsession. Prayer breaks the obsession of worry. Fasting breaks the obsession of worry. Pray about everything. You know what? Some people say, I don't have time to pray. Well, I would say to you, if you prayed as much as you worried, you'd have a whole lot more time to pray. Come on now. And you'd have a whole lot more answers to prayer. Thank God in all things is number three. Gratitude is the, you might want to write this down. Gratitude is the breakthrough attitude. Gratitude, breakthrough attitude. Number four, stay focused on things that are true. Change your thinking. Every day, you must counteract all the lies you hear with a daily intake of God's word. You will hear one lie after another. We live in a world filled with lies and ideologies that are just not true. And you will lie to yourself. And you've got to not fight those lies. You've got to replace them with the truth. So I must hurry. Number one, don't worry about anything. Don't fret. Don't fear. Don't have anxiety. Now, is that pie in the sky? Sure sounds like it. If you've had trouble with anxiety, you're going, get real, Pastor. I deal with this every day, and I have never found a solution to anxiety. Some people are plagued with it. It's our nature to worry. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow, how many know this was true, will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Now the reason why we mess up today is because we spend too much emotional energy regretting the past and worrying about the future, so we mess up the present. Did you get that? So we regret the past, worry about the future, and mess up today. That about covers everything. It's like three crosses that you crucify yourself on. You crucify yourself on the cross of guilt and shame from the past. The second cross is you crucify yourself on the cross of worry, anxiety, and fear about the future. And as a result, you crucify yourself on the cross of stress in the present day. And can I tell you, worry has never produced anything of any value. Worry is worthless. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. A lot of commotion, a lot of movement, but you don't progress in any way, shape, or form. You don't make an advance. And you know what? Most of the worries that you have never actually, I heard a chuckle because somebody knew what I was going to say. Most of the worries, how many would say this true? Never actually happened. And, you know, how many want to die one day sooner than you're supposed to die? If you're supposed to die on this day, how many want to die sooner? How many want to die 3 days sooner? How many want to die 4 days? How many want to die a year sooner? Let me tell you something. Every time you worry, all the time you worry, it's an absolute waste of time. It's like you are cutting that portion of your life and eliminate it, and you're like, I'm dead. That's a dead part of my life. In fact, it's probably worse than being dead. Because when you're dead, you don't feel that pain of that anxiety and that worry. See, worry is stewing without doing. It can't change the past. It can't help the future. All it does is mess up the present. And you know what worry is? Worry is focusing on my fears instead of on God. Worry is practical atheism. You're acting like you do not have a heavenly Father who cares for you and who can provide for you. And so you're consumed with all this worry when he says, look at the lilies of the field and how they are adorned even in a greater way than Solomon was adorned. But God, who takes care of those lilies, it's God. And he says, God will take care of you. So I want you to know today that you can break the habit of worry with fasting and prayer. Here's what the Bible says. Romans 8:6. This isn't self-help. This is Bible. Thinking that is controlled by the sinful nature leads to death, but thinking controlled by the Spirit leads to life and peace. Life and peace, that doesn't sound like worry. You want to get worry out of your life, then you've got to have the Spirit of God controlling your thinking. How does that happen? You make a deliberate decision that you're going to rely and seek God in prayer and fasting. You're going to refocus your thoughts, and you're going to dive in and let God fill you with his Spirit, and it'll bring life and peace. Now, how do you switch your focus? You do it by praying and fasting. That's what Daniel did. You remember Daniel? I mean, he had one battle after another, but every time God just seemed to promote him. And what did Daniel do when he was worried? Daniel 9:3, I turned to the Lord. I mean, he's right here. He's facing the problem, and I'm going to turn to the Lord. I'm going to turn away from this problem, and I am going to focus on the Lord, and I am going to pray, and I am going to seek the Lord. And it says that I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. So we turn to the Lord, but we don't really plead with God and pray and fast. We pray popcorn prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep prayers. We pray little prayers that don't have any substance, that prove something. We haven't been in the Word. Because when you get in the Word, you know what? Your prayer life is going to be energized by the Word of God. And new words are going to come out of your life, out of your prayers. Man, you're going to pray with a new power that you've ever prayed with before. And that power is going to transform your life and your thinking. Wow. So you got to get the focus off the problem, get the focus on the Lord. And, you know, there was another national leader who, when Israel began to leave Babylon to return home, his name was Ezra. And the people were all anxious about returning home. They'd been in captivity for 70 years. And in Ezra 8:23, this is a leader, an influencer, and he wrote a book in the Bible called Ezra. Ezra 8:23, we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. I ought to stop right there. He heard our prayer. Not just Tracy's prayer, not just Paul's prayer, not just Rick's prayer, not just Gary's prayer, but our prayer. Friends, we've got to get this. We have got to come together in prayer. We got to call prayer meetings, and people got to say, it's a prayer meeting. I'm going to the prayer meeting, and we're going to seek God earnestly, and God is going to move in our lives and in our church, and we're going to experience a breakthrough. We want a breakthrough, but we don't want to have to do that hard stuff. Are you with me? I don't want to miss out on the breakthrough. Number two, real quickly. You got to pray about everything. Now, If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. Did you hear me? That's right. Do not worry about anything, but instead pray about. Yeah, tell God what you need. That tells me no problem's too big, no problem's too small. You got pimples on your face and they're bothering you, pray about it. Right? Am I telling you the truth? I want to give you a challenge. I want to give you a challenge that at least three times a day for the next 30 days. Why 30 days? Well, it takes about 21 days to develop a habit. I want three times a day, you will set aside time to pray and to read just a little bit of the scriptures. And you know what? For some of you, just a little bit of time, 5 minutes. Some of you, 5 minutes will not be enough. But take at least 5 minutes, three times a day, to pray and read a little bit of the scriptures. Now, here's what I'm going to do to help you. If you will text that number, 913-274-1441. It's on one of the slides. I know I just jumped around a little bit. And you type the word WAG. I will send you a devotion that we all can read together every day. It comes from YouVersion. And this one is a breakthrough to overcome worry and fear. And so for 7 days, we're all going to read the same devotional and we are going to pray. Now, secondly, I want to encourage you to be here Wednesday night, because on Wednesday night, I am going to teach you the 10-finger prayer. And I promise you, you've probably never, ever been taught this. Where you can look at your 10 fingers and you can learn who to pray for and what to pray for. Who to pray for, what to pray for. And I'm telling you what, if you pray the 10-finger prayer, you're going to need more than 5 minutes to pray. So you know what? Some of you are going to grow leaps and bounds. God is going to begin to do things in your life because you have never, ever made such a concerted effort to pray and to seek God for a breakthrough. So here's that number again where I can give you a devotional that is simple to read. We can all be on the same page. We can all be praying about the same thing. 913-274-1441. You type the word WAG, and WAG, text it to that number, and I will send you that devotional. And listen to what happens. He says, pray about everything, and then thank God in everything. Meaning that in the midst of your challenge, you find something you can be thankful for. You write it down. You declare it to God. God, I am thankful that you've done this in my life. I'm thankful for this blessing in my life. You declare it to God. And number four, you stay focused. Stay focused on true things. Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on things that are true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure, lovely, admirable. Fill your mind with thoughts that are excellent and worthy of praise. This is the key to breakthrough. You will change the way you think, and it will bring a breakthrough in your life. See, you know, you want to know how you change your thought life? You don't fight it. You refocus it. Like if I'm a smoker. If you smoke, I'm not condemning you. I don't condemn anybody. It's not my job. I love everybody. This is why I pray every day. God, help me love people right where they're at. Never judge anybody. You with me? Love people right where they're at. You know what? God may need to make progress in your life. He needs to make progress in my life. And I ask you, don't judge me. I won't judge you. But listen. Listen to me. If I have a problem with smoking and I want to quit, I don't do this. I'm going to quit smoking. What am I doing? I'm thinking about what I don't want to do. You know what I do? I turn around and I pour myself into something else, something new. And I reshape my thinking about whatever it is. If I got worry, I'm not going to worry. What am I doing? I'm worrying. So instead of worry, the time that I would worry, I'm going to pray. That means I got to, in order to do that, I got to eliminate something. And the more I pray, the more I seek God, the more I fast, that just washes away like the water. The flood come in and just took it right away. That's what happened. I used to cuss like a sailor when I was 15 years old. I gave my heart to Jesus. I started to love him, and guess what? I come to church and I start singing these songs. New words that had never come out of my mouth ever before. Words like, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. If I could sing, I would start singing, but I'm having to tell you the words, right? And I would begin to sing these words and speak these words. And you know what all that did? That just started washing away all those bad words. Washing away all those bad words. And then I discovered something. You know what? I don't talk like that anymore. It's gone. I've been forgiven. I asked God to forgive me. But you know what? I replaced it with something else. So if you find yourself struggling in a certain area, find something spiritual that you can replace it with, and you will experience a breakthrough. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful that if you had a habit in your life that was beating you down, that you were not happy with, that was hurting you, and then you found through prayer and through fasting that you and the Word of God, you were able to wash it right out of your life and you became a brand new person. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray. And as we bow our heads in prayer, I hope you got something out of this message. It was hard to preach, I'll tell you. It was hard to preach this morning. Just because of physically challenging. But let me tell you, I believe that God had a word for you today. He does. And listen to me. I want you to identify something that you, an area of your life where you need a breakthrough. And I want you to begin to pray. Begin to fast. And remember last week I told you, listen to God before you talk to God. If you missed last week, you can go to our website. It's on the website. You can listen to that sermon. But let God speak to you. And He might begin to tell you things that you need to do that you weren't doing that would change the whole course of direction of your life in that area. And then you're going to see a sudden advance. I saw a breakthrough this week in my life in an area. And these are very personal. They may be very private. You may share them with others. But, you know, I want to pray for you. And I want you to pray. And I want us to pray for a breakthrough. So let's stand. Father, I come in Jesus' name. Excuse me. I just pray, Lord, right now that, Lord, a breakthrough would begin to happen. The rumblings would begin to take place. Faith would begin to rise. within the hearts of your people. And that, Lord, we would begin to determine in our hearts that we don't have to live the way we've been living. We don't have to hang on to things that you want to set us free from. That, Lord, we can change. We can see a sudden advance. Lord God, that victory comes to the believer and victory is ahead for us. But Lord, you've given us the pattern here. You said, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. And you said for us to give thanks in the midst of everything, not for everything, but in everything. In the midst of everything, we thank you. And then, Lord, we watch what you will do. And we refocus our thinking on those things that are excellent and worthy and praiseworthy. And we transform our thinking in Jesus' name. And so, God, I pray for breakthroughs to happen in this church, breakthroughs to happen in people's lives. I pray for a breakthrough, Lord, in our church, Lord, in the sense that, Lord, we will see people come to know Christ and new people come and become a part of this church and this church move forward and grow, and that you and your blessing would rest upon us, God, that we would turn from those things that we know that are not pleasing to you, that we would humble ourselves and we would seek your face and we would see your mighty hand at work in our church. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not certain where you stand with God, and you would say, Pastor, my life's not been where it needs to be with the Lord. I'm not judging you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I want to pray for you. And if you would say you need to come home, you need to come back to God. You want to reconnect with God. You want to have that relationship that he created you to have. You want God in your life. And best of all, you want to know that you have peace with God concerning the future and the past. And if that's you, I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. And if you would say, I want to make a decision today to open my heart, my life to Jesus Christ. And Pastor, I want to ask you to pray for me. I won't call you by name. I won't call you out. But I want to just pray for you. And if you would say, pray for me, lift your hand right now. All across this auditorium. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How many others? You'd say, I'm making a new decision today to follow Christ. Thank you. I'm making a decision today to be a follower of Jesus. Lord, I just come and I lift up these folks that are making important decisions today to follow you, to follow the Savior. Jesus, you bled and you died for all of our sins. And that without you, Lord, we have nothing. There's no hope. But Lord, with you, there's life. With you, there's forgiveness. With you, there's a second chance. With you, there's power. There's victory. There's love. And Lord, I just pray today that we would take that step of faith and put our trust in you, and we'd cling to you and we'd lean upon you. And your arms are strong. You will hold us up. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.